Welcome, everyone, to the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Lucas and I, your co-hosts, are so excited to finally be here because it's almost game time at the 2021 World Championships, and this is our first episode. So, Lucas, how are you feeling? I'm pumped to be here. I'm excited for this tournament to finally start. And you know what? I don't want to give you too much credit, but I'm pretty happy to be your co-host this year.
Well, I'm stoked to be here. This tournament never gets old. I've been doing it since 2000, and it's always a thrill.
Okay, so I think the proper way to start everything off, since this is our first episode, is with intros. Just in case people listening have no idea who we are, you have quite the resume, so I'd love for you to take the floor, tell us about all of the experience you have with the IIHF and hockey. So go ahead, Lucas.
Well, I've been covering this tournament for basically half of my life. My hockey journalism career kicked off in 1999, writing about the NHL in Vancouver for the Pro Hockey Euro Report. Just 1 year later, I was hired to edit the official website of the 2000 World Championship in St. Petersburg, Russia. So the World Wide Web was still this crazy new fad. Vladimir Putin had just taken power. The Dallas Stars were the defending Stanley Cup champions. And Pavel Bure, leading the NHL in goals, was expected to carry Russia to gold on home ice with Alexei Yashin and Sergei Gonchar. Shockingly, the Russians lost to Switzerland, Latvia, and Belarus, and they finished 11th. I learned a lot that year. I've covered every single world championship since then, all the thrills, upsets, and victory celebrations. And you know what keeps me coming back for more? International hockey is unpredictable. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Oh, Lucas, so this is your 21st year doing this.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. They really fly by. You know, there's been 5 Olympics in there. There's been under-18 tournaments, women's worlds. But, you know, it's the same thing every year, but it's always different. That's the amazing thing. You know, new kids coming up, great old stars. You know, like seeing Jaromir Jagr playing his last tournament in Prague in 2015. Those moments stick with you. And, you know, there's just the magic to this tournament.
And most importantly, how has the World Wide Web evolved since then?
The information superhighway? Oh, it's pretty cool. It's pretty happening. I mean, just social media didn't exist back then. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. It's taken off so much. I mean, just the fact that, you know, we have amazing streaming video now where you can watch games on your computer. It's light years ahead of where it was in 2000.
And a perfect opportunity to plug the IIHF on all social media accounts. There's a lot going on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I believe that there's going to be daily Facebook Lives on the ground in Latvia. So anyone listening to this podcast, make sure you follow along on everything IIHF and IIHF.com for all the content, all the fun resources, all the fun videos, every single thing. And please always tune in to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with Caroline and Lucas. Most importantly, because this is fun. So for your intro is a tough act to follow, Lucas, but I'm going to try my best here. My name is Caroline. I'm a former Sportsnet host of Plays and Misplays of the Month and Aftermath TV in Canada. And although I never played hockey, I have some international experience playing soccer for the Canadian women's soccer team representing Canada at a World Cup. So with that being said, I can completely relate to what these hockey players are feeling in each and every moment. The anticipation, the nerves, the emotion, and privilege representing your country, especially for these super young athletes. It's an amazing feeling, and the craziest thing about sports, as we all know, one game, one goal can literally change everything. So that's what I love so much about sports, about hockey, about these tournaments. So I can't wait to see how the 2021 World Championships unfold. I can't wait to cover all of these trending topics with you, Lucas, on the Totally Ice Hockey Show. And of course, you know, give you a hard time because that's basically, I heard, my number one role and responsibility on this podcast.
Caroline, I know you're a Leafs fan, but I'm going to be nice and not even mention 1967. Oops.
Don't go there, Lucas, because we have a pretty good relationship right now. So I'd hate for episode one for things to go south, you know?
Okay, well, I'm going to play it cool out here in Vancouver. And let's focus on 2021. What exactly are we going to be doing here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show?
You know, I just can't wait because every single day you and I will be on here recapping the day's actions, previewing upcoming games, providing fun facts, cool stories, history analysis, keeping you up to date on what's happening on IIHF.com and all of our social media platforms, and honest to God, so much more. So basically, this will be like a one-stop shop with everything you need to know, and an added bonus, we have some fun. So everyone should be tuning in, and I really can't wait to be a part of this.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. All right, Lucas, for anyone listening and new to the World Championships, please tell everyone how they work.
Well, this tournament features the world's top 16 teams. They're divided into two groups of eight. Now, each group plays a 7-game round robin, and the top four teams in each group advance to the playoffs. After a crossover quarterfinals, the teams are reseeded for the semifinals, and then it's on to the medal games. This is like a 64-game marathon that goes by in the blink of an eye. And something else kind of unusual. You know, in a normal year, the bottom two teams in Group A and Group B would be relegated to Division 1A. But of course, this is anything but a normal year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So there haven't been any lower division tournaments. And as a result, here's some good news if you're cheering for an underdog that might finish 15th or 16th. There will be no relegation this year. All 16 nations competing in Riga will be back for more at the 2022 Worlds in Finland.
Oh, that's a solid point. That's exciting. Honest to God, the sports fan in me, whenever there's a tournament like this, I get super amped because there's nothing. There's nothing like World Championships, a World Cup. You know, it's just the best time to be a sports fan. Get behind your country. Watch the underdog go through. So I'm just super, super pumped for this. And one thing that I think is very important that you brought up is, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. And unfortunately, we're still in the midst of COVID-19, and that's affected sports on a global scale. And of course, this year's World Championships. So I want to know if you have any inside scoop, any inside details on what the coronavirus protocols are in Latvia and what has been put in place for this year's tournament.
Absolutely. Well, there's a World Championship bubble. It's been approved by the Latvian authorities, and it's divided into six different tiers. In Tier 1, you have players, team staff, and officials. Tier 2 is other essential tournament personnel. And then you have other tiers with more limited access to the venues, people like bus drivers, broadcasters, photographers and journalists, and the IIHF delegates. So Tier 1 participants have quarantined before the tournament and gotten 3 negative PCR tests. They spend 3 days isolated in their single hotel rooms upon arrival in Riga, and then daily testing continues throughout the tournament. In addition, everybody inside the bubble is downloading the COVID-19 contact tracing app, and they're filling out a daily health questionnaire to access the venues. Of course, masking, physical distancing, hand hygiene, and general cleaning and disinfecting, all those things we've gotten so familiar with over the last year, are important elements. And all of this is outlined in much more detail in a manual that every team receives to ensure everyone's health and safety.
So basically what I got from that, super safe to be there, taking all the right protocols and precautions to maintain everyone's health, and just trying our best right now to get sports back in a way where athletes and fans can enjoy the sports world again in the midst of this global pandemic, but first and foremost, keeping everyone healthy and safe, right? Like, that's all that matters, and hopefully we have a fun 2021 World Championships to look forward to. And I talk about the fans, Lucas. We haven't received approval yet for fans in Riga to attend the games in person, but is that completely off the table, or is there a possibility of that happening down the line?
Well, it's a process. I mean, I'm just speculating here, but if everything works out, I could see maybe 1,000 or 2,000 spectators per game with all the right protocols in place. And of course, that would take the atmosphere to a whole new level, especially with these Latvian fans. But again, we'll have to take this day by day and just see what happens.
You know, I hope so, because I would hate for, you know, Latvia to be playing on home ice and they don't get their home crowd. Like, that's like the best part of being the home team is you get your crowd and they're used to the venues and everything. And it just adds such an additional memorable component to being the host country. And I really, really hope, you know, for Latvia that that's possible. And then obviously for all us hockey fans, because we all know watching a sport with fans is so exciting. And I really miss that. I'm going to say that I miss seeing fans in the stands.
Yeah, fingers crossed for Latvia. I mean, this is a country that is incredibly passionate, maybe 2 million people in the country, and they love their hockey. They worship their hockey heroes. And yeah, it's a fan base like no other.
All right, Lucas, so that's it for the introductions and off the ice details. Next, we're going to take a closer look at how things could play out on the ice. Let's move on to our tournament favorites. And Lucas, how you doing? You ready for round two?
Drop the puck. Let's do this.
Yes, it's game time. Okay, tell me your thoughts on the likelihood of Finland defending their title and possibly becoming back-to-back champs.
And a most unlikely team wins a most unlikely world champion. The Finns have won the world championship in Bratislava.
Finland has a real chance to win gold again in Riga. You know, in 2019, head coach Jukka Jalonen took his team to the promised land with no NHL regulars. And team was definitely the key word because you don't knock off Henrik Lundqvist, three Russian NHL scoring champs, and tournament MVP Mark Stone without teamwork. This year's team is even less star-studded, but the Finns play hard as a five-man unit. And unlike those old Finnish teams that used to just kill the game in the neutral zone, these guys are quick on the counterattack. But, you know, offensively, you wonder a little bit. Are they going to gel? Finland struggled at times at the recent Czech hockey games. You look at key forwards like 19-year-old Anton Lundell, still not quite in his prime yet. Or 36-year-old Petri Kontula making a comeback, a little bit long in the tooth. Will they produce at crunch time? All I can say is stay tuned.
You know, I always wonder about the teams that are coming back who won the previous year because they have a little bit more pressure going into the next tournament to become back-to-back champs. So we'll see if Finland can deal with that pressure and if they can deliver. I hope for their fans that they can, but you just never know. And quick bit on Henrik Lundqvist. I had the opportunity to interview him a few years ago, and this guy is incredible. Like, of course, obviously the way he plays and he goaltends, but just such a nice person and regal. There's no other word but regal. You meet him and you're like, how do I keep talking to him? So he's awesome. Just a quick tidbit on Henrik Lundqvist. Okay, so then now we have Sweden as their Nordic rivals and the 2017-2018 champs. How do you see Sweden doing in the tournament?
Historically, the Swedes do great when they get great performances from lots of NHL stars, like the Sedin twins back in 2013 on home ice, William Nylander stepping up in 2017 as the MVP. More recently, Rickard Rakell in 2018. Now, Rakell is one of five NHLers here for coach Johan Garpenlöv, but the Anaheim Ducks forward is not maybe the 30-goal man he was 4 years ago. However, you gotta like the confidence former tournament MVP Victor Fast brings in goal after winning his second Swedish title with Växjö Lakers. Rangers fans going to be watching Nils Lundqvist. The question is he ready to anchor Trey Kroner's blue line after leading the SHL in goals for defensemen? There's lots of SHL and KHL talent here, maybe enough to medal, but, you know, like the Finns, you wonder a little bit if Sweden could run out of goals in the quarterfinals like they did at the 2018 Olympics.
Lucas, can I ask you a question? Are you a hockey encyclopedia or what?
I try. You know, there's always more you can do, but, you know.
I'd love to just hang out in that brain of yours.
I've been burning a lot of this stuff in my brain. Yeah.
If there's ever a Jeopardy hockey version, I'm literally submitting your name and being like, listen, Lucas Acro needs to be on the show. What is the IIHF for 1,000, please?
You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, like, God, growing up, people would say, How is it going to benefit you knowing that Yari Curry scored 71 goals and 64 assists en route to the Lady Byng Trophy in 1985? And I'm like, well, now I get paid for it.
Literally. Well, you're amazing. I could listen to you all day, and I'm sure everyone listening is taking mental notes, because this is all the information that we need ahead of the 2021 World Championships. Okay, let's move on to the North American superpowers. Let's talk about Canada first and then the U.S., because we all know that fans love talking about these two teams, and these two teams love playing each other. So let's talk about them.
Well, for both Canada and the U.S., this is a tournament of redemption and second chances. And you know what? That includes all ages. Like, take Brian Boyle. Here's a guy who's 36 years old. He didn't play this year, but, you know, he maybe gets a good showing with Team USA, and maybe he gets another contract in the NHL, another shot at the Stanley Cup after losing the 2014 and 2015 finals with the Rangers in Tampa. Or maybe another older guy in Justin Abdelkader. When he played Worlds back in 2014, he was the U.S. captain, and he got kicked out for a bad hit on Vladimir Sobotka in a 4-3 quarterfinal loss to the Czechs. This year, the Detroit veteran won a Swiss championship with Zug, and now he gets to carry those good vibes over to the Worlds. Turning to Canada, you know, this roster is all over the place, but I want to focus on Maxime Comtois and Mike DiPietro. Last time these two kids wore the red maple leaf was the 2019 World Junior Quarterfinal in Canada. Comtois, he took a lot of heat. He missed the penalty shot in overtime against the Finns. And then DiPietro in net let in Toni Uutinen's winning goal. Just a crazy sequence.
Glass, drop pass for Glass. Kobe Glass into the cross. Dobson, his stick blew up on him. Oh. Now he's got no stick. And back comes Talvinia the other way. Glass reaches back on defense. Talvinia works in, drops, shoots, score! Toni Uutinen, overtime winner! And the Finns have won it! A broken stick at the worst possible time, and Canada's tournament is over.
So, you know, when you have a tough ending like that, what wouldn't these guys give to come home with a medal from Latvia? Really, when you look at both the North American teams, who knows? Like, there's all kinds of possibilities. It could go either way. These are both motley crews, basically, and it could be feast or famine.
You can never write them off. That's what I know about Canada and the U.S. Never write them off. You just never know, right?
Always playing to the last second.
Exactly, and that's what I love about these two hockey teams. Okay, Russia as 2018 Olympic champs. Let's hear what you got on Russia.
Well, Russia is looking for its first title since 2014. And this year's roster kind of reminds me of the Russian teams of the early 2000s. The goalies, honestly, are a potential Achilles heel, with none of them among the KHL's top five. The forward group would probably be good enough to win a Gagarin Cup, including Sergei Tolchinsky, whose goal actually gave Avangarde Omsk the title back in April. SKA St. Petersburg fans will have a blast because 11 of their players made this roster, including top Canucks prospect Vasily Podkolzin. But, and here's a little bit of an anomaly for Russia, the D-men might be the team's strongest suit. Now, I'm not saying that 2019 returnees like Artyom Zub and Nikita Zadorov are as solid as the Kremlin walls, but they do have that NHL size and physicality that could pay off if Coach Valeri Bragin's team cracks the Final Four.
And now how about their rivals, dun-dun-dun, the Czech Republic?
Fun fact, the Czech Republic actually led the 2019 Worlds with 47 goals. I think that's probably not happening again unless Chicago's Dominik Kubalík and Detroit's Jakub Vrána go absolutely bananas. But this team has some potential. I mean, goalie Simon Rubek is hot. He's coming off a championship with Omsk. Detroit's Filip Hronek certainly knows how to quarterback a power play. And the captain, Jan Kovács, leading the Swiss League in scoring this year and actually winning the title with Zug as the playoff MVP. So you look at this team and you go, are these a bunch of Hall of Famers? Not necessarily, but the Czechs didn't have a world-famous roster the last time they won in 2010 either. I'd say, like a lot of teams, they should be asking, why not us?
I love it. I love it. And Lucas, is there anybody any other team that you can think of that has a solid chance? I mean, Latvia, host country, Switzerland, Germany. I'm so excited about this tournament because I feel like you just don't know, and there's so much potential for any team to do something. And again, we're going to get into this a little later, but no McDavids, no Crosbys, no Ovechkins. It's time for, you know, these other players to step up. And I think that as a hockey fan, that's what I'm excited for the most, is seeing the potential of what can happen. And maybe for me, sitting back and being like, who is going to take it? Who is going to be the leading goal scorer? You know, who is going to be the breakout star of this year's tournament? I don't know, maybe let's start out with the host team, Latvia. What can you tell us about Latvia?
Well, you know, out of all the lower echelon teams that could make some noise, we've got to talk about Latvia. Now, of course, due to COVID restrictions, we won't hear as much noise from their famous fans as we'd like. But a quarterfinal berth could be in reach. You can say that for a lot of these lower-end teams. Heading into Friday's opener against Canada, people talk about how Latvia got spanked 11-0 back in 2006 by Sidney Crosby and company. But you know what? Let's not forget, the last time these nations met in 2018, Canada needed an overtime goal from Connor McDavid to beat Latvia 2-1. These Latvians are a tight-knit family, from Kristaps Sutniks and Artūrs Kulda on the blue line to Kaspars Daugavins and Miks Indrasis up front. They will compete hard on home ice.
And chemistry is everything. When you're on the ice, if teammates and line mates don't have chemistry, it's not going to fare well for them, right?
Exactly. And that's a real strength for Latvia, a country like Norway. You know, these countries have played together for a lot of years, and that's an advantage when it comes to building chemistry right from the start of the tournament.
Lucas, it would be a crime to overlook Switzerland.
So it would.
Let's talk about Switzerland.
Yeah, I mean, the Swiss are winners of two silver medals in the last decade, and literally both those years, nobody saw this coming, right? Now, this year, they're bringing in New Jersey captain Nico Ischier, former number one overall pick, along with San Jose power forward Timo Meier. I mean, that certainly doesn't hurt their odds. But then you also have to look at Germany. And it's all about the work ethic with the Germans. I mean, everybody remembers their 2018 Olympic silver medal under coach Marco Sturm, but their sixth place finish under Toni Söderholm in 2019 was higher than Sturm ever placed at the Worlds. So, bottom line, with or without a Leon Draisaitl, these guys can scare other teams.
Okay, spotlight on the new teams, the newbies, maybe we'll call them the newbies. What should we expect from Kazakhstan and Belarus? Let's start with Kazakhstan.
Well, remember going to the mall as a kid and having so much fun riding the elevator?
Always. Well, I still do, and I'm 30 years old, Lucas.
Well, congratulations. I like the glass ones, you know, with a really good view. And you can wave to your friends on the floor. And
oh, my goodness.
But yes, elevators. Well, Kazakhstan is your classic elevator team. Up and down, up and down. They've been down in the bargain basement since getting relegated in 2016. And now they're back. And lucky for them, it's a year with no relegation. But they're going to have to make do without two key naturalized players, including Nigel Dawes, one of the all-time great KHL scorers, originally Canadian, and Swedish-born goalie Henrik Karlsson, who reportedly had a contract dispute with Baris Astana. So I would say 14th or 15th place is pretty likely.
Ouch.
But it's early days yet. Right now, everybody's got a perfect record.
Lucas said it, not me, everyone, okay? Lucas said it.
Sorry to all the Kazakh fans out there.
Okay, let's talk about Belarus a little bit. Go ahead, Lucas.
Well, Belarus is a country that's invested very heavily in its hockey program. And, you know, when you talk about passion for the game, when Minsk hosted the tournament back in 2014, those guys set a new attendance record with more than 640,000 fans. It stood until the Czechs beat it the following year, but a very impressive turnout. So when you look at the team, you can safely bet a few rubles that this tournament will go better than 2018. I mean, that time, they lost three straight, they fired coach Dave Lewis, and they replaced him with Sergei Pushkov. And unfortunately, things just continued to spiral downward. But this year, Belarus is not going to be a pushover. You know, they got some good players, whether you're talking about Yegor Sharangovich, 16 goals for New Jersey as a rookie, or Shane Prince, who led Dynamo Minsk with 49 points. Don't count Belarus out.
You know, guys, as I'm listening to Lucas, our hockey encyclopedia, speak, I want to tell you that if you have any questions for Lucas, please tweet the IIHF or me, Caroline Schved, on Twitter, and I'll be sure to ask Lucas your questions on the podcast, because obviously he's a wealth of knowledge. He's been doing this for, you know, 21 years, no big deal at all. So if you guys have any questions or even any comments about what he's saying, please tweet us. Engage in the conversation. We want to hear from you, and I want to ask your questions. So please, I'd love to feature you on the Totally Ice Hockey Show, and I'm sure Lucas would love to answer your hockey questions. I'm just listening to Lucas, and I'm like, why not? He needs all the good questions in the world, because I don't know if there's anything I can trip you up on, Lucas, so maybe someone out in the Twitter sphere will be able to.
Well, you can try, but hey, I mean, thanks for blowing my trumpet. It actually reminds me of some of the classic cartoon videos from the 2006 tournament when we would see these surreal beavers. Yes, beavers up on the big video screen blowing trumpets. You know, the 2000s, the 2010s, those were the days of the vuvuzelas. You know what I'm talking about?
I sure do. I sure do.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Lucas, my job was to give you a hard time, but, you know, here I am, like, your number one fan right now, so I don't think I'm doing my job properly.
Well, no autographs, I mean, but we're doing this on the internet, right? So, but I appreciate your interest.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Great Britain and Italy both stayed in the top division in 2019, the first time since the 2006 IIHF World Championship that both promoted teams stayed up. How are both of these teams going to do this time?
Let's start with the British. If you predicted before the 2019 Worlds that Great Britain would stay in the top division until at least 2022, nobody would have believed you, especially when you threw in the part about the global pandemic, unfortunately. Hey, you know what? Look, the Brits have a lot of character, but in 2019, they needed a miracle comeback against France to survive.
Queen opportunity for Jonathan Phillips. The captain hustles in on it. Giacchichvili can't take it away. Springs Davies. Deke scores! Ben Davies wins it in overtime for Great Britain.
Remember, Davies down 3-0 and coming back to win 4-3 on Ben Davies' overtime goal. I mean, that's crazy. This season, COVID shut down the British Elite League, and that meant players really had to scramble for opportunities to play elsewhere in Europe. There were also a few mini tournaments set up for them to kind of get their legs under them. But you know what? With limited preparation and limited depth, it's going to be a tough road in Riga for all the Queen's men.
You know what? There's something I want to say about that. I don't think people, or we don't take into consideration how tough it must be for these athletes to have had this time off with COVID, then all of a sudden, you know, go into championship play. It's very, very hard for an athlete to mentally and physically get into shape with not really knowing what's going on. So, you know, I personally, as a former athlete, feel for some of these athletes who, you know, had to, like you say, scramble to find opportunities to play elsewhere, to stay in game shape, to stay mentally prepared and physically prepared that, you know, when they are going to the 2021 World Championships and they are representing their country, they're in absolute elite form. So I during this entire global pandemic, of course, there's a lot of things that, you know, my heart went out to. But in terms of sports, I really felt for these athletes because I felt like they were put in a tough position of the unknown and uncertainty, and then also making sure they stay fit and ready and, you know, ready to represent their country. There's no greater honor or privilege. So I felt like I had to say that. So sorry, Lucas, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we can go
not at
on
all
with Italy.
Yeah. And I mean, just a second, what you were saying, I mean, hockey is such a team game. When guys retire from this sport, the thing they often talk about the most in terms of what they miss is not necessarily the games or the money or the attention. It's just going into the dressing room and being with the guys. So to be pulled out of that routine that you're so used to day in and day out is tough on everybody, but I think especially in a team sport like hockey. So it just kind of doubles your gratitude for the fact that these athletes are showing up here, in May to put on a great show in Riga.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about Italy.
Well, Italy, honestly, facing the toughest test of all. Reportedly, about 15 of their players and staff were diagnosed with COVID in the days just leading up to the Worlds. Now, icing a team with last-minute replacements is never ideal under the best of circumstances, and these guys were already riddled with regular hockey injuries. And you know what? Italy is not the deepest team in the world. They sometimes struggle with the strength or the foot speed of their opponents. And, you know, go back to 2019 to get a sense of the challenge. Italy was outscored at one point in the tournament 45-1. That's a pretty big gap. Finally, Sean McMonagle got the 4-3 shootout winner against Austria and kept the Italians in the elite division. But you know what? It's not easy for Italy under the best of circumstances. So at this point, you just want to wish the very best of health to all the Italian players and staff, as well as their family and friends. You know, in 2021, it truly is an achievement for all of these national teams just to make it to Riga.
Absolutely, Lucas. And, you know, hearing this, my heart goes out to them because I love sports so much. You love sports. Everyone listening is a massive hockey fan. But the most important thing is your health and your safety. And the fact that, you know, 15 of their players and staff were diagnosed with COVID, you'd want to talk about adversity. That's adversity. That's fear for them and their families. So my heart goes out to them. And, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for them, because for me now, they have my heart. The Italians have my heart in this tournament. So I'm wishing them the best. And hopefully, with that being said, everyone remains healthy and safe throughout, because like I said, that is the most important. All right, Lucas, it wouldn't be a preview show without some predictions. We're going to bring you guys those next. All right, Lucas, we're heading into the third period, and it's all about the breakout stars and what we think is going to happen in terms of these players. And I'm so excited for you to start us off, because you start us off with a English major literary reference. And fun fact, I was an English major too, so I really appreciate this, and I'd love for you to take the floor.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we were talking about this during the break, and you know what? Ernest Hemingway wrote a short story called Up in Michigan. Despite what it sounds like, it was not about University of Michigan teammates Owen Power and Matty Beniers suiting up in Latvia for Canada and the U.S. respectively and looking to go first overall in the 2021 NHL draft. At the other end of the spectrum, James Michener wrote a historical novel called Texas, and I believe 21-year-old Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars could write some nice history with Team USA. This kid was overshadowed on the 2019 U.S. World Junior team with all the talk about the Hughes brothers and Ryan Poehling. And, of course, right now, Kirill Kaprizov of the Minnesota Wild has the inside track on the Calder Trophy. But in a different year, Robertson would clearly be a favorite for Rookie of the Year, on pace for 72 points over a full 82-game schedule. So let's see if he can step in Riga the way Johnny Gaudreau did in 2014. Putting up 10 points in 8 world championship games.
Here's Johnny, right?
Yeah. Always fun to watch.
Okay, awesome stuff, Lucas. My person isn't so much a breakout star, but someone I'm really looking forward to keeping an eye on will be young defenseman Braden Schneider for Team Canada. My soon-to-be cousin, once I marry into the family, Nathan Salemi, was partnered with Braden Schneider in the WHL for the Brandon Wheat Kings over the past 3 seasons. And we're
well,
on
double
the street
congratulations.
From... Oh, thank you. So word on the street. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Word on the street from many around the WHL and Nathan as well is that Braden was a man amongst boys in the league, which I think is such a powerful statement. A strong and steady mobile two-way defenseman that can impose his will and impact the game in many ways, which is obviously why he's been selected on the Team Canada roster. The Rangers saw his potential this past NHL entry draft and drafted him in the first round at 19th overall. So I'm just really excited to see how he performs at this level. He's 19 years old. That's the second youngest player on Team Canada's roster. And I completely know what it's like to enter a world championship, a World Cup at such a young age with all these nerves and these pressures and, you know, these emotions to represent your country on a stage like that. So it's interesting to me to see how all these young players will represent their country, and especially for Braden Schneider, how it plays out for the Canadian blue liner. So that's kind of, I don't really have a breakout star in mind. What I'm going to be doing is keeping an eye out on all these young athletes who are given this opportunity, even if they don't see ice time. You know, I want to hear about their experience. I want to follow their journey on social media, because even if they don't get on the ice, let's say for some reason they don't get that playing time, it's such a cool experience. And I don't think I even realized how amazing of an experience it was for me until I reached, you know, my late 20s of being like, wow, I got to represent Canada at 16 at a World Cup and play and go to New Zealand and play in front of the New Zealand home crowd. I was just like blown away. And now I get to sit back and be like, wow, that was cool. I did that. So I'm really, really, really excited for these young athletes, and we'll see how it turns out for them.
And it's a great opportunity for someone like Schneider too, having played at the World Juniors back in January, coming so close to gold, and now getting a second chance playing against the men in Riga. You never know what can happen.
Never know. All right, unexpected success stories. What do you got for us?
Well, you got to go with the lovable Latvians. You know, Caroline, we used to have a home ice curse at this tournament. After the Soviets won gold in Moscow in 1986... no host team won gold until the Swedes in Stockholm in 2013. That's a 27-year gap. Now, Latvia wasn't cursed in 2006. I mean, nobody expected them to win the gold medal back then. They had an okay tournament, but they also could have done better than 10th place. So you look at veterans like Lauris Dārziņš and Kaspars Daugavpils, who played back in 2006. This is going to be their last chance to play a Worlds in Riga. I mean, really, who knows when this is going to happen again, right? The Latvians, not a quarterfinal favorite, but what a story it'll be if the host nation peaks at the right time.
And we said this earlier in the episode, but home ice advantage, when you're the home team, it even if you don't have the most talent on the ice, just having the ability to hear your home crowd or your fans or see them. Hopefully these fans are able to see some of these hockey games in person, you know, is everything. And I'm telling you, when I represented Canada and we played New Zealand, Canada was the better team, but just feeling 23,000 New Zealand fans cheering on their team, I was like, okay, I'm a little nervous now. Like, I know we're the better team, but they might be able to pull through solely on adrenaline. So that's why I'm saying I really hope for Latvia, our lovable Latvians, that they get that home crowd, because there is no greater feeling than, you know, feeling that support from your country and your fans.
Absolutely. And you know what? Regardless of the number of fans that are or aren't allowed into the building, you know the Latvians are going to be out in force on the internet. Last year, with the cancellation of the World Championship in Switzerland, we put on a virtual Worlds where fans worldwide got the vote on which teams would win which internet-based games. And surprise, surprise, Latvia powered the victory. So, you know, they're going to be all over our social media, all over the website every day, and it's a lot of fun to see.
Lovable Latvians, make sure you tweet us. We want to hear from you. I want to share all your comments on our show. All right, Lucas, this is probably one of my favorite conversations around any tournament. Top scorer, what are your predictions?
Man, honestly, this year, it's a real head scratcher. I mean, hey, you know what? Even if the Czechs score less than in 2019, you can't count out Dominik Kubalík. He had 12 points en route to fourth place back in 2019. Then you look at somebody like Petri Kontiola. He's the only player here who enters these Worlds as a previous scoring champion. He led the parade with 16 points back in 2013. But it's just so hard to say. It could be a name that none of us are thinking of. This is not a year where somebody comes in as the consensus favorite, like, let's say, Evgeny Malkin back in 2012. Mm-hmm. That year, the Russians won the title with a perfect record, and Malkin wins the scoring race with 19 points. after leading the NHL with 109 points. You can see that one coming. This year, it's an open question.
I love it. You just never know. I feel like that should be the motto of our Totally Ice Hockey show. I feel like throughout the show, we've been saying, you just never know. So we need, maybe I'll make you a shirt, Lucas. Make us team shirts. And for anyone listening who likes everything we're saying.
Trust me, at a tournament like this, you can always use another clean shirt. It's a marathon.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, medal winners, what are your predictions?
Well, once again, this is a tough year to predict. But I'll go out on a limb. I'll say Finland gold, Sweden silver, and the Czech Republic bronze. Now, that would mean Jukka Jalonen makes history with Finland's first back-to-back golds ever. With this prediction, I'm also gambling that the group of Russian KHLers can't replicate what Russia did in Pyeongchang back in 2018. I don't really see the U.S. breaking their gold medal drought, which goes back to 1933, a very long drought indeed. And from where I sit, Canada still has to convince me. But who knows? I mean, if I get one out of three medal picks right this year, I'll be very happy.
Well, Lucas, I can understand why Canada has to convince you, because they haven't won gold since 2016. So they have a lot to prove in this tournament. But Canada is a team that I'm excited to see play. None of the players on Team Canada are Olympians, but we all know that Roberto Luongo, Shane Doan, who are at the forefront of this team and program, have all the experience. So I have faith in these guys that they have selected players that mesh well together on and off the ice and who are hungry. And I'm very, in an unbiased way, excited to see what Canada does on the ice and to see if they can bring that gold hardware home, because that would be amazing and that would be a story in itself. So maybe we'll be talking about that at the end of the tournament on the Totally Ice Hockey show. So we'll see. But like you said, Canada has to convince you, but you just never know this tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to get my head around the fact that Luongo and Doan are in management. To me, I'm like, shouldn't they be playing goal and forward respectively? Like, they were, you know, really great supporters of Canada's World Championship team, 03, 04, Shane Doan the captain in 2007 when they won gold as well. And yeah, time flies.
Time flies. Okay, it's almost time to wrap this up. Time flies on this podcast as well. But we couldn't bring you this preview without a word on our wonderful hosts. And what's that I hear, Lucas?
Oh, come on, Caroline. Everyone knows that's the sweet sound of the Latvian Beavers playing We Will Rock You. What else? Now, if this sounds a little weird, for context, Rix was the official Beaver mascot of the 2006 Worlds in Riga, the very first time Latvia hosted the tournament. Rix is spelled R-I-X, and that's the Riga airport code. You know, when I flash back to Latvia's 2006 opener against the Czech Republic at the brand new Riga Arena, I mean, again, you feel a little bit sorry for these passionate Latvian fans who won't get to fill the arena in 2021. In 06, it was sold out, 10,000 fans, blowing horns, banging drums, chanting Latvia, Latvia. And I mean, I've covered a lot of hockey. I've seen some pretty jacked up crowds, like back in Vancouver, where I live. I remember the intensity, like when the Canucks returned to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years against Colorado back in 2001. Or then there was the feeling in the building at the 2010 Olympics when Canada beat Russia 7-3 in the quarterfinal. That was something else. But in 2006, it was so loud, so overwhelming. The Riga Arena was shaking. Now, I'm half Finnish, I'm half Canadian. This is not like a super emotional blend, shall we say? But sitting there, feeling the crowd, I could feel tears coming into my eyes before they even dropped the puck. And then Latvia goes on to pull off a 1-1 tie with the Czechs, the defending world champions. Those guys celebrated like they had just won the Olympic gold. You know, 2006, that's a tournament I'll never forget. And day one really set the tone.
I don't mean to ruin a heartfelt moment here, but do you think you could do the Latvia chant for me one more time?
Latvia! Latvia! Unfortunately, I don't have a drum or a horn here, but, you know, goals, right?
Oh my goodness, I'm the worst. I always ruin the heartfelt moments, and I take it a completely different direction. So thank you. Honest to God, I might make that my text tone. I might clip that. I might get our producer, Lucy, to clip that moment for me, Lucas, and I might make it my ringtone for when people try and reach me. Latvia.
Bon, you're making me cry again. Please.
Okay, everyone, don't forget, we'll be here every single step of the way through the whole tournament to bring you all the news you need to know over a busy 15 days of action. Day one of this year's championship sees Russia facing the Czech Republic, Germany taking on Italy, newbies Belarus versus Slovakia, and then Canada against host Latvia. We'll see you then. Thanks, Lucas. You're going to have to endure me for another 15 days. You ready?
Woo! Yeah.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.